Let us pray. Oh, Father, you are the sustainer of all. Lord, retune the very fiber of our being to resonate with the song of the angels. In Jesus' name, amen. We began last Thursday talking about this notion of servant of all, and began in Jesus' words in Mark 9:35. If you want to be first, the one that wants to be first, you've got to figure out being last of all and servant of all. And then we traveled all the way back to Genesis 3 and began to see how God was revealing himself as servant even in the very beginnings of the story. We began to follow that scarlet thread, starting with those skins that God so lovingly clothed the nakedness and shame of Adam and Eve with. We saw the covenant, the cutting of the covenant, and God's passing between the pieces as smoke and fire, the shedding of blood. We went on to talk about the Passover lamb, the blood on the lintels, the prophets. And eventually it begins to culminate in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who eventually will be coming in the clouds and every eye will see. Today we come to the story of the prodigal. And we only are dealing with the first brother in the story, the first half of the story this morning. But we get to see another aspect of God as servant of all. Let's talk about the prodigal for a moment. Have you ever been that boy? I sure have. And who knows how you get there? What prompts those dark choices? But you find yourself squandering everything that you have. You find yourself wasting away. And if God is smiling, and that wonderful thing happens, like the prodigal, he'd come to his sense. I remember the moment on a dark night walking on Eastwood in Houston, Texas. I was a freshman in college when I came to my sense. Thankfully, God had broken through, and by his grace, I began to listen. I came to my sense. Some of the images you'll be seeing this morning, I'm very grateful to both Paul Neely and our alumnus Ron Richardson for turning me on to. The first one was by an artist named William Ong. The second one deals with that moment in the story just before when God ran. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. It's a Barnum painting. And the story says from the gullah, and he gonna run quick and hug him and kiss him. God loves us enough in all of his regal splendor as the father in the story of the prodigal, to leave his place and rush to meet us where we are. I think the moment that we see in the Barnum, the sun has just come upon the workers. Probably it's the father holding the hammer. And he sees him. There's that moment of surprise, and he's just about to dash to meet him. Put a robe on him. Get the best clothes. Get the best clothes from the son. In Battoni's painting, he pushes it a little bit further and has the father actually wrapping the naked, battered son in his own cloak, covering him in his own robe. And then in Rembrandt's wonderful story painting, probably the most classic one ever of the event, you see the two hands, and I think it was Dr. Reggie Kidd that first brought this to my attention, this painting, got me to contemplate this painting in 704 one day. You see one of the hands very masculine, but you also see the feminine nurturing hand. Of course, God is Father. We always talk of him in masculine terms. That's what the Scripture does. But the Scripture also uses feminine nurturing metaphors for us to understand who he is, because male and female are both made in his image. I love the lyric of the story, the old Benny Hester song, When God Ran. I think it was written in the 70s. It was recorded again not too long ago by Phillips Craig and Dean. Here's just a little bit of the lyric. Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome God, victorious warrior, mighty conqueror, commanding king of kings. And the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's come home again." Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. God has compassion on prodigals, on wanderers, on we who are faithless and stumble. He beckons us to himself, but he doesn't expect us to come all the way. He gets up, humbles himself, and runs to meet us, just as he had Adam and Eve covered in the garden, just as he had that returning son covered in this story. God's got us covered.